Our scripture this morning is from 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now, the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 cents of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you my servant, Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Look, just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharah, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean.
This past summer, 7 people, there were 7 of us, right? 7 of us went to Detroit on a mission trip to serve with Rippling Hope. You may be wondering what a text like this has to do with a mission trip, and yet sometimes it's the simple act that can change lives. Over the next several minutes or so, you're going to be hearing the stories that each person that went on the trip will be sharing of what they experienced, of those moments of making a difference, finding hope, and possibly seeing the face of God. So I'm going to ask that, let's see, Ali Hassano, Lou Griffin, Mike Hassano, Jim Griffin, Steve Ruzanak, Barb Creighton is not here, but we have a letter from her. If y'all will come forward, and we will get started. You're going to have to stand where people can still see. Y'all have to, yeah. This isn't the best room. Look like when we left.
We didn't look like that when we came home.
We didn't look like that when we came back.
Thank you, Ernie.
First, we'll be talking about where we stay.
The Rippling Hope in Detroit has been offered the ability to use a house in one of the neighborhoods near the church where they're associated. And it is used for interns that are staying there. And we had the opportunity to stay in that house in one of the neighborhoods near where things are being worked on. We had some graffiti in our kitchen. We don't know what it meant or why it was there or who put it there, but we got to watch it, look at it every day. There's a common room area. There's a living room beyond that. And we were happy to know that there was a security system in the house that we had to be careful of leaving and entering. We were strongly advised, or just flat out told, to not leave the bus parked on the street overnight while we were there, and that we wanted to have it backed up into the driveway on the side of the house in case somebody might want to steal our gas cap or something. The house is in a community that is really a rather close-knit community. There are people there on their porches most of the days and keeping an eye on neighborhoods. The woman who donated the house to Rippling Hope actually came by one night just to see how things were going. Patty is one of the interns that was living there at the time, and the two of them stood out on the curb for 5 minutes, probably, talking. And while they were there, cars were driving by. People from the neighborhood would stop and get out of their cars, leaving them running on the street to come over to give this woman a hug, welcome her back into the neighborhood where she had been living and hadn't been for, I don't know, months, probably. It was really just a welcoming place to be, despite the disparity and the destruction that we could see of the houses throughout the neighborhood.
I did have a chance to speak with some of the residents of that neighborhood, and to their words, when we showed up there, they were scared because we were newcomers, and they didn't know how to react to us when we showed up. A couple days when we had breaks, I stayed behind and I got to speak with a couple of these residents, basically. And their words were to me is, "Who are you and why are you here? Are you here to hurt us?" And I said straight out, "No, we are here to help you and not to be afraid of us as a person or as a party. We're not here to hurt you in any shape or form. We are here to help to kind of rebuild that area." As you can see in the picture there, I guess most of those houses there were about 10% of them were all burned out. And again, it's a sad moment when you see that, because they're trying to make a living and they just can't do it because of their, I don't know, their income level and their the work down there. It's just, there's no work to be found. It's ever since the plant closed down. And the one day that I spoke with these parents or the residents there, there was an ice cream truck coming by, and I offered to buy the kids ice cream, and I spent about $30 of my own cash, and I bought the whole neighborhood ice cream for that day. So just to show that we were there to help and not to be mean, or how do I say that, outcomers, you know, so.
One thing about the picture that you see up there right now, that was the view out of our bathroom window of the house right next door that is completely burned out, that's right next door to the mission house. And then Jim got to be friends and talk with the neighbors that were on the other side of the house, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Is the burning just random acts of vandalism, or
It's
the burning is.
It's people breaking into the houses trying to take the pipe out of it to sell it. That's what I was told. And after they got done, they would start the house on fire.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
All right. On Tuesday, while we were there, we were invited to a press conference through Rippling Hope, and that's getting the sign ready for Neighborhood Day, which it was about how many days after we left? Two. It was about 2 days after we left, and it was this big press conference with neighborhood people, and Carl was there with Representative David Nathan, and just discussing about what Rippling Hope is and just about the neighborhoods and how they were all trying to get together to help rebuild Detroit, essentially. And then we also did some gardening in some of the houses we helped with, which I thought was a lot of fun. And then got to pull weeds and then take stuff out and then replanting some other things. And then Steve with one of the boards from the fence. We also had another gentleman from Rippling Hope who helped us. What's his name, Lori? Do you remember? Jerry or something?
His name was George.
George. Thank you.
He's a member of a church, of a Disciples of Christ church there.
Yeah.
And he volunteers once a week with Rippling Hope.
Yeah, and he was a great help to us that day. It was very warm out, and he was more than willing to help. Just all the gardens and stuff were really neat, just to see what was there and what we could do to help clear out all the brush, and then
that's the homeowner,
yeah, Miss Paula, I think her name was. You said Lori.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Miss Paula. She was very kind to us and very welcoming, and she was very excited to have someone do her garden work other than her, because she wasn't sure if she'd be able to get it all done by herself. So she was grateful that other people were there helping.
For me, one of the best things about this year versus last year was having a bigger group. Last year when we went, it was the four of us. This year there was seven, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot. Larger group equals more work and jobs that can get completed, which equals more lives touched. Last year we had a lot of big jobs done. The worst was probably that killer fence last year. Big wooden fence that took us way too much time. This year we did a lot of smaller things.
Except for
this house, which was not a small thing, but we got it. We won. Yeah, Steve before he fell. Thank you, Lord. Steve after he fell. but we did a lot of weeding, fixing chain link fences. We're okay with that. Chain link is okay. Wood, not so much. We painted a garage at that house and the trim on that house, and then we painted trim on another house. We did window caulking. Barb and I fixed the seal on a door, a big, heavy wooden door that wasn't sealing right anymore, that was probably from the 20s. Nice old wooden door, but just didn't quite seal. Trying to help the people cut down their power bill, their heating bill, so that they can save a little money there so they can do other things with that money. We painted a kitchen, an entire kitchen, which sounds like a lot, but it was a very small kitchen with seven not-so-small people. It was an adventure. I think we ended up with five of us in there at one time, and it was really hot, and the cabinets were super, super deep. I was afraid Lori was going to fall in and we'd never find her. But we got it done. And, but it's stuff like that where we could do a lot more with our group. But then we also worked with other groups that were there at the same time. Last year when we went, we were, I think, the last group of the season, and so it was just us, which was fun. But this year we were there when there were other groups there. And so we got to work with a youth group from down south and another group from Minnesota. And then we also worked with some people who were volunteering through Motown Mission, which is another group kind of like Rippling Hope, but much bigger. And they had groups that they could then send out to work with Rippling Hope groups. So to me, it felt like we just had so much more, I don't know, what's the word I want? Just so much more
impact
because we could do so much more. And then also at the church, every time we went to the church this year, there were always other people there. Not just the youth that were staying there, but there were neighbors. We had a neighbor who came by almost every day to have meals with us and visit with us. What's that? Talk about our day or what we might be working on. The candy lady. We had a candy lady who drives around to the different sites where Rippling Hope is working and literally has a trunk full of candy. Seriously.
It's true. Yes.
And you just go in and you pick whatever you want. And if you don't take enough, she tells you need to take more. You need candy. Very nice woman. You know, so it was a lot more. Every time we were at the church, there was people there. There was a lot going on. And that to me was just, it even spoke to how much more Rippling Hope was able to do this year versus past years. And I think they're continuing to build on that. There was a lot more recognition for Rippling Hope this year. They weren't looking for it. It just was there. So that was really neat to see.
Well, at this place, we did weed work in the back. That was Lori and Steve, and there's Jim and Allie and I. We planted flowers for this gentleman. His name was Harold, who could not do it any longer. So we all chipped in and helped where we could. There's Lori and Steve doing the weeds before the ferocious dog tried to jump the fence and attack them. So that was an adventure. But we planted all new flowers, and Jim got out this big weed that was root that was none of us could get. That was very helpful. And then we planted flowers, put mulch in his garden. I mean, he was just so thankful that we could do that for him. And that's him right there. That's Mr. Harold. So that was a good time, I think.
That's George, the member from one of the disciples' churches that helps one week in the tan pants and the blue shirt. So he was with us that whole day.
Yeah.
Are you going back there again?
We'll go back again, definitely. This is what Barb Creighton wrote up that she wanted to share with everyone, so I'm going to read it for her. So the I in here is not me, it's Barb. Just be aware. To be honest, my mission experience to Detroit didn't start out at all like I expected. I was disturbed by the sight of so many abandoned and burned out homes, the overgrown empty lots. It was depressing to see the lengths that had to be taken to secure property. Locked fences, elaborate security systems, retail shops that do business behind thick, clear, bulletproof protective walls. The problems in Detroit are very real, very large, and very complex. I didn't see how painting a garage or weeding a garden was going to help fix the big problems I had observed in the neighborhoods through which we traveled or stayed in. But as I spent time reflecting alone each evening, I believe God spoke to me. I realized that my expectations were similar to those of people in Jesus' day. They wanted a great Savior to come in and rescue them from the terrible conditions of poverty and oppression that they were experiencing under the Roman occupation. I wanted to see God come and rescue Detroit in a way similar to how the people wanted God to rescue them. But that's not how God works. Instead, Jesus came and reached out to the people in their individual situations and in their day-to-day problems. He changed water into wine at a wedding, healed the sick, touched the lonely and the outcast, loved and held the children, and offered hope and peace to those who had so little. I came to realize that Rippling Hope was acting just like Christ. Rippling Hope was funneling God's love to individual people in their day-to-day situations in ways that showed that they were loved and cared for and not forgotten. We and the many other volunteers were acting like Christ acted and would act if he were present. But then he was present because we and all the others responded to his call. I am grateful for this experience because it reminded me that it's the people that God cares about and not the burned out houses or the empty lots. So where did I see God in Detroit? I saw it in the story of R.H., the young pit bull. This is R.H. This is last year when the four of us were there. Lori took the picture, so she's not in it. And then Carl and Robin, and that's R.H. in the front. And he showed up one day outside the trailer that Carl and his wife live in while they work there in Detroit, and he was near death. Clearly, he had been abused and was severely neglected. He had fought his way free of the chains that had bound him and had somehow managed to get to Rippling Hope. His injuries were severe, and he could not be approached easily. They did not expect him to live through the night. But he did, and Carl's wife was slowly able to offer him some food and to tend to his most obvious injury, which was his leg. He had been shot. His leg was basically shattered. Couldn't put any weight on it. And the other thing they found once they got him to a vet, they were able to find a vet that could take him in and treat his injuries. And when they got him there, they found that his collar was embedded in his neck. It had been on for so long, had never been loosened. They'd kept it tight because they didn't want him to get away. And it had grown, you know, the skin had grown around it, so they had to surgically remove his collar. After more than a year now, RH has recovered physically, and through the loving care he receives every day, he is recovering emotionally too. This is RH this year in the spring, just as they were starting the season in Detroit. To me, RH is a metaphor for what God is doing in Detroit. The Lord, through Rippling Hope, is leading Detroit back, one animal, one person, one home, one neighbor at a time. Love builds on love, and hope does grow like ripples on a pond. That's Barb. That's when we got home.
That's when we got home. And we were all still friends and sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, except for poor Steve there. I hope you heard in what everyone shared, as well as in Barb's letter, that the text that we read about Elisha and Naaman, Naaman wanted something grand and big because he was important. If he was going to be healed, then, you know, God's self should show up and take care of this. And that isn't what was needed. Just washing in the river was going to cleanse. And that's what we learn when we go to Detroit, is there's all these times that we think there's something big that we should be doing, and we wonder if really weeding a garden makes that much difference. And then we go back another year, and we see that there are more people that have hope and are remembered and know that the world cares about them. And so we pray that as we go on these mission trips, that you will continue to support us this year. Next year, we'll go to Paraguay, and then we will return to Detroit in 2016 and go and see what has been done. But in the meantime, you need to know that every little thing that you do, whether it's weeding a garden, filling out a postcard, serving at St. Stephen's, putting money in the offering plate that goes toward outreach, filling out your time and talent card as well as your stewardship card for next Sunday, all of that makes a difference. All of us together, working together, can do things like even cleanse a man like Naaman. So thank you all so much. I'm so proud of them. They worked so hard, and I hope you know how well you were represented. They really do behave. We have other pictures that show some of the not behaving, but we didn't really have time for that today. I pray that as we gather to sing again, that you will know that you are welcome to come and join this congregation if you don't have a church home, to come and join and be a part of a church that truly believes in going and making a difference in the world in a variety of ways in the use of all of our gifts and talents.